Accession number 28645, reel 9.
Now, here I really have got a puzzle. I can't fit these things in. Was that after or before the war? It was before.
What was before?
That's what I'm trying to find. Yes, I went off up. We all met again in Aosta, which is over the other side of Italy, to the west, and on the Swiss and Italian, Swiss border, Swiss-French border. And we went up to a little place, oh, can't remember, I'd have to search for its name, to stay there for a while, the three of us, which was unusual. And there was a funny little collection of people up there. There was Don Juan, the younger brother of the Spanish prince, and he was a little bit weak in the head. And obviously his wife had married him for his title, and she was perfectly disgusting to him. She was a little, well, she was a little viper, that woman. She was very nasty to him. Mind you, he must have been a bit irritating, because he was vague. So he was staying in the hotel. Then we had the son of the Romanian ambassador to Rome, who had a great plan of fitting music to poetry, to something else. He was working on that. He was very anti-Mussolini. There was a little group of people who were anti-Mussolini, and one of his, Mussolini's henchmen, actually Mussolini was 50% good. He got Italy into order. He's the only person who's ever managed to get Italy into order. And trains ran on time. I left my camera on the train when I went from Verona to Turin, and it went to Rome, and I got it back. Nothing was ever stolen off the trains. They ran absolutely to the second to time. He wouldn't allow any unpleasant modern buildings to be built on Capri or anywhere down that coast. He protected the building. There was a lot of good in Mussolini, a great deal. There was a certain amount of cruelty, but he didn't deport the Jews.
Much.
He had it in for people who were anti his rule. Now, well, that's only natural, isn't it? but he wasn't vicious like Hitler. It wasn't the same thing at all. And he did.
No, I can understand.
And he did get the country into superb order and protected it from desecration, which you can't say many people, can you? Right, where was I? Oh yes, we were in Aosta. So there was a little group of people who were anti-Mussolini, and there was one of his henchmen who had a super villa up there. So we used to go and bombard this with stones. It was on a hillside, so you could get above it and throw stones onto the roof. Didn't do any damage, it just irritated him. And oh, and the flowers were absolutely marvellous up there. There's a meadow of alpine lilies. Oh, it was gorgeous. It was really lovely.
Did you have any inkling at all? You've mentioned the flowers many times in various places. Did you have any inkling at all that you would become the horticultural or flower painter, floral painter that you have?
No, I just painted flowers. My own interest, I painted flowers from the age of about 6. I think I didn't go in for botany. Never mind. Did other things instead. So we stayed up there, and then my father went off to his posting in Egypt. He was going ahead. And I and my mother went to Venice. Oh, we had a short while. The place was named, I have to look up, which was at the entrance to the Grand Paradiso estate. It was a royal hunting estate. And the, it was called Grand Paradiso because that was the name of the mountain at the end. And this village looked straight up the this valley to the mountain. It was a gorgeous view. And there were ibex. I remember seeing a whole flock, I suppose a flock of ibex, going along the mountainside. You could see these things, and the flowers were absolutely out of this world, and nobody had interfered with them or anything. It was a private royal park, but you were allowed to walk in it. And on the other side of the valley, there was an iron mountain. The whole thing was made of iron, and they mined this thing. And they said they would one day demolish it. What happened, I don't know, because of course the war came. But it was almost solid iron, iron ore. Extraordinary. Right, that was before I asked her. So then my father went off to take up his posting in Egypt and settle things ready for me to go. And my mother and I went to Venice, and Bruno came to Venice, and a friend of my mother's came to Venice, and we had a lovely time. Absolutely lovely.
What did your mother think of Bruno?
Oh, she thought he was fine. He was fine. He was a dear good soul.
She was never concerned that another engagement might take place.
No, we didn't get engaged. If I hadn't gone to Egypt, yes, I suppose. But there were lots of them like that. I mean, I might have got engaged to, and I tootled off somewhere else. Anyhow, we had a very pleasant time. And that was fine. And then, of course, came the parting and the tears and all that. And I sailed on to Aegeo, which was more like a private yacht. They had two wonderful little ships that used to do Venice to Egypt. One was called the Calitea, and one was called the Aegeo, and the Aegeo was rather second class, but it was all right. But the Calitea was just like a millionaire's private yacht. It was wonderful. My mother came out on the Calitea. So off I went on the Aegeo. I went at sunset. I'll never forget that sunset over Venice as we left. Magical. And off I went to Egypt.
Right. So we've gone to Egypt and now we know it was 37.
That was 37 quite definitely.
We've gone to Egypt in
September.
And it's 2:05.
Mm-hmm.
I have to be in 2:30 an hour. I wonder whether this might be an opportune moment for you leaving on the boat to go to Egypt.
Yes, because now we've got another chunk of life, and that was Egypt in the peace.
Before we have Egypt in the war.
That's right. Egypt in the peace when it was, well, one of those really wonderful colonial places where you just amused yourself. Well, some people worked, but I mean, families amused themselves.
Yes.
Started riding, and that was a lovely time.
Well, shall we pick it up in Friday week? We'll pick it up
when I arrive in Egypt.
With you arriving in Egypt on September 27th.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Suzanne, we're starting our fourth or fifth session. At the end of the last one, you were leaving on the boat, the Ajao, I think it was called, to
Aegeo,
to go to Egypt, September 37. But I think there are some things, extra things, about 1937 in Europe that you'd like to mention.
Yes. 1937 was extremely full, one way and another. 1937, there was Dieter's murder, and we went off to Sicily. And I think I described Sicily.
You did.
And then we went to Naples. We also went to Capri at that time and visited Gracie Field's house. Among other
things. She was at the height of her fame then, I suppose.
Yes, and she just married this young man. And then we did Naples, and then we did the coast, Amalfi and Ravello, and we saw the little house that my mother rented after that.
And when had your mother rented it? Before the Great War?
Yes, oh yes, before the war. No, this was 37.
Yes.
Then we went to Rome, and we did Easter, and on the train going to Rome, I think I mentioned that we met a Vatican count.
You did?
Who gave us a special entry form into the enclosure where the Pope was.
Yes.
And after that, we went up to Florence and spent some time there. And from Florence, we divided again. I went off to Como. No, we didn't. We both went to Como. That's right. We both went and stayed at the Villa d'Este, which I think I described already.
Yes. Yes, you have.
And from there, my mother went somewhere else, and I went off to Bellagio on Lake Como and painted and learnt Italian, which I think I mentioned.
Yes.
From there, I went to the little village at the mouth of the Royal Hunting Park of the Grand Paradiso, which I think I mentioned. From there we went to Aosta. I think I mentioned that.
Small group of people.
My father and mother and I.
Yes.
Went to Aosta, and from there right up to the border, the Alpine border between France and Italy, and Switzerland and Italy.
You referred to people that you were with.
We were near Mont-Melon.
Anti-Mussolini.
That's right, yes. Yes, that's right. We threw stones at his house. That was very naughty.
Threw stones at the house of one of his lieutenants?
One of his henchmen. I don't know whether it was a lieutenant or... I think it was a bit higher up than that. It was a beautiful house. We didn't do any damage. We just annoyed him. yes, and I mentioned Don Jaime, I think, the King of Spain's son, second son.
Yes.
And from there I left out, we went, it was then decided that I was going to go to Egypt and look after my father, because my mother was going to do something else. And so we went to Turin, to get my trousseau for going out there, because I had no suitable clothes for the life out there. So we spent some time in Turin. Then we went to Venice. We met up with a friend of my mother's and Bruno again. And then I sailed to Egypt. And that is just in general. And I wanted to mention the time that we had in Bolzano, because it was such a lovely place to be. And we were there at the summertime when the fruit market was there. Mind you, there was always a fruit market, but that was the fruit market of the year in the early summer. And the fruit was absolutely out of this world. It was gorgeous. And we took drives up into the mountains. It was a wonderful time. Wonderful. And the pièce de résistance at the fruit market was the Alpine strawberries, and they were the true Alpine strawberries. Nowadays, they've crossed them with something else, and they don't taste like Alpine strawberries in the least. But they were absolutely gorgeous, and there were all the exotic fruits. Beautiful. And it reminded me of the apple orchards around Bolzano. There were very widespread apple orchards. And it was the first time... I don't know whether, I've never heard of them doing it in England, but when there was a fierce frost forecast, they sprayed all the trees in full blossom and each flower was encased in ice and it stopped from getting frostbitten, which is extraordinary. I've never heard of it in England.
I know of occasions when plants become covered in snow and it prevents frostbite.
Yes, no, they sprayed them on purpose and that froze on all the flowers and they came through and fruited. Amazing. Of course, the perfume in the apple orchards in the spring was absolutely wonderful. Absolutely marvellous it was. A little bit further down, of course, they had orchards of nectarines and peaches. And then they had a very special wine near Bolzano, to which we went when my mother took Jimmy and me for our holiday.
Jimmy is the unsuccessful suitor.
The unsuccessful suitor.
From Edinburgh.
That's right. And there's a strange little hill near Bolzano. I wonder if it's still... Well, the hill was still over there. And on this hill was a special vineyard. And our driver took us out there, said we must go. And it's the only place in the world that I have heard of which has red Muscatel wine. They grew a special grape there. I do wonder if it's still there. And it was the most delicious stuff. Absolutely gorgeous. Jimmy got faintly drunk on it and he got sillier than ever. Poor lamb.
Do you ever know what happened to him?
No. I imagine he became a lawyer in Stirling. He lived in Stirling and he was studying for the law. So I expect that's what he did. I can't think that he'd do anything wildly eccentric. I'm sure his mother would keep him to it. She had an elder son who was a sour person, very sour. Mind you, he was quite right in some of his cynicism. But cynicism of a 40-year-old didn't sort of suit two 18-year-olds. So we didn't think much of him. But he was settled there. No, I expect he became a lawyer. I would think so.
Back to Bolzano.
Back to Bolzano, yes. Well, that was that. Then, also in that year, we went on from Bolzano to a little place called Mittendorf, which was on the railway line, but... Well, the village wasn't on the railway line. The railway went past it about a mile distant. So you let them know beforehand that you were arriving, and they would arrive with a farm cart and a pony to collect your luggage. And you walk to the village. And it was a lovely place. And they had wonderful wildflowers. They had lady slipper orchids. I could go to where they grew now. I could walk there. And wherever you went, you walked, before you started up the mountains, you walked through fields of wild narcissus. You couldn't see the grass. It was so thick. Delicate wild narcissus. Oh, it was beautiful.
Now, just jumping ahead a long, long way.
Yes.
Later in your life, which we'll get to one day, you became a painter of flowers and...
I started painting flowers when I was about 8.
I was going to ask, when was it these various experiences at this still quite young age of seeing this magnificent natural history in the Italian country?
Oh, I painted the Narcissus, but my painting wasn't as good then. I mean, it was nothing like what it was when I was in my heyday.
I was going to ask whether your Italian experiences really crystallized your desire to become a painter, or whether it was just part
no,
of
it was it was it was a hobby. It was just a hobby because in Egypt I did some painting, but it was desultory. I mean, I was busy dancing and sailing and doing things like that. So I had a passion for dancing. I was offered a world tour dancing with one partner. My husband didn't see eye to eye with it. Yes, the forces. What do they call themselves? Forces Entertainments Group. What do they call themselves?
ENSA,
that's right. Yes, they offered me a world tour with this partner, dancing.
You must have been quite a good dancer.
I was very good. And I loved it, I had a passion for it. Yes. I was always looking for a good partner because I couldn't do with the ones who stepped on my toes. Dear, oh dear. Yes.
Bolzano still.
Bolzano. Well, then we went to Mittendorf. We got the White Horse in as well at that time. We did so much. We flitted about Europe.
And did you did all this, you did say earlier that it was quite inexpensive to travel in Europe.
Yes, of course we always went third class.
You went third class, but it was quite inexpensive.
It was.
And you did this supported by your mother's modest income from her...
My mother had about £20 a month. And my father allowed us about the same. And we managed on that.
So you each survived on £5 a week?
Yes, just about. Mm. But you could get very cheap food, and it was good food too. It was excellent. What do we never eat now here? What were you? Pigs?
Pig's trotters?
Trotters, that's it.
You can get pig trotters today. They're coming back into fashion.
They're coming back, are they?
They are.
I'm not acquainted with them, but I'm told...
A great dish in Austria was not just the trotter at the end, but up to the joint.
Yeah.
Up to the first small joint, so it was about that round. And that was boiled potatoes, was boiled. And a nice quarter of a litre of Muscatel wine was a gorgeous meal and very cheap. Yes, one could live very cheaply indeed. Then, of course, there were these, in Italy, there were these hotel certificates that you could buy beforehand. Germany, there was the Reisemark. So one could do quite nicely. We never used anything to do with cooks or anybody like that. We never used that because my mother was absolutely brilliant. She could do a year's tour. She had all the... All the railway guides, all the bus guides, everything. She was amazing. She'd work it all out. So we never needed any cooks, people, or anything like that. It was good. She'd sit down with these timetables and have it all worked out in one evening. Next month or so. Where we were going, what the exact times for the trains and how much it would cost. She was brilliant. She would have gone into the business. There's several businesses my mother could have gone into. Very well. Right, so that brings us rather sketchily up to... But I remember those fields of Narcissus. They were absolutely gorgeous. Dreamlike.